Si usted o su organismo comunitario tienen alguna información que desean difundir en el fichero latino, comuníquese con nosotros a Latin Time, a nuestra dirección electrónica laplaza.info@gmail.com. O también puede enviarnos un mensaje en Facebook. Vaya a www.facebook.com/tiempolatino.latintime y de paso denos un like. Nuestra página Facebook también se actualiza ahora diariamente con noticias y reportajes sobre lo que ocurre en América Latina y el mundo. Síganos en Facebook. Y Tiempo Latino se ha escuchado en América Latina y en todo el mundo a través del Internet. Entre al sitio de CKUT en la siguiente dirección, www.ckut.ca. Y usted puede acceder también a nuestro programa.
This is Gregory Majewski of Oakdale, Connecticut. You're listening to International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the International Radio Report for Sunday, October the 16th. My name's Sheldon. I'm here with Jill, and we thank you for tuning in. We are on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. You can reach us by email, radioreport@yahoo.com. We're live streaming and archived at the CKUT website, ckut.ca. Our Facebook group, International Radio Report, with 854 members. You can join the group anytime you like. Just search for International Radio Report on Facebook. And our show is archived on our YouTube channel. You can listen to the shows there at your convenience. Again, search there for International Radio Report. We have 710 subscribers. You can subscribe to the channel if you like and receive notices each time a new show is posted up there. So we are going to take you around the world a little bit. A lot of U.S. information, though, in this particular show. Some of it domestic, some of it shortwave. So anyways, we'll get going with an update from Radio Miami International, WRMI. And of course, we've talked about the effects on their transmitter site down in southern Florida because of Hurricane Ian. You know, once they got out into the fields and checking the damage, it sounds like there was a lot more damage than they had initially thought. Yep. And that has caused them to put out a plea for financial assistance. The story comes from Paul McLean at Radio World, and the headline, Save Our Shortwave, says WRMI. Shortwave broadcaster WRMI is asking for financial help to rebuild its large antenna facility in Okeechobee, Florida. Hurricane Ian damage to our antenna farm is so extensive, it has knocked us off the air to Europe and Africa, wrote General Manager Jeff White in an appeal on a GoFundMe site. We need your help to get us back on the air again to transmit to Europe and Africa news, information, religious programming, and entertainment. Radio Miami, of course, is an international commercial shortwave station with studios in Miami and studios and transmitters in Okeechobee. It sells blocks of airtime to outside organizations. Entities with time blocks on its schedule include Radio Ukraine International, Radio Slovakia, The Overcomer Ministry, Supreme Master TV, and Radio Liberty. Jeff White says the organization does not have insurance for its antenna farm due to the cost of the insurance premiums. In an article by James Careless for Radio World, he writes, the vast Okeechobee, Florida antenna farm of privately owned WRMI, which transmits programming to the world via shortwave, was hit hard by Hurricane Ian. WRMI has 14 transmitters and 23 antenna systems. We had winds up around 100 miles per hour, and that did a real number on our antenna field, said Jeff White. So we have had three antennas that are probably destroyed beyond repair. one to Europe, one to Africa, and one to Central America and the South Pacific. Your help will allow WRMI to rebuild the transmission towers destroyed by Hurricane Ian that are pointed towards Europe and Africa. Hurricane Ian knocked us down pretty hard, but we know with your help, we can rise back up and provide programming in many languages again to Europe and Africa. We were getting reports early from them after the hurricane that, you know, they were getting some of the transmitters back up and maintenance was being done, but it seems a portion of the site probably seems to have been hit harder than others.
On the first day or two, they were mentioning that, you know, they were hoping to have a lot of the frequencies back, but it became obvious that the work to be done seems to be much bigger because they were getting the frequencies one at a time every day, trying to say, well, we'll try to get, you know, that one for tomorrow. And they got a number of the frequencies back today. As we're recording, they had 15770 back in service, which is one of the big ones that goes to Europe. They were saying that the transmitter site is pretty much in a swamp, basically. You know, it's a difficult situation when you want to go out there and fix things. But they were actually mentioning that they needed bigger trucks and they needed different equipment because what they had was not enough. It was just stuck in mud and they just couldn't move and it was really difficult to get out there.
Yeah, I'm just taking a look at the GoFundMe site. They had put a goal of $60,000 US. As we're recording on Friday evening, they are at $2,520 of donations. They have a long way to go to reach 60,000. One of the reports I was reading said one of the things that needed a lot of replacement was they use hydro or telephone poles.
Yeah.
To support a lot of the antennas and other structures on the site. And many of those were just mowed down in the storm. So getting those reset, new ones brought in, reset into that very sort of mucky ground that they transmit from, it's going to be quite a task. So we'll see how they make out.
Yeah.
Insurance, I guess any kind of insurance in Florida is expensive. You know, a site that big that's got so many things sticking that high up in the air, you'd think you'd want to protect them, even if the insurance bill is quite high. I'm sure the damage is probably higher than the insurance was. You take a risk by leaving it uninsured, and now they're having to try to figure out how to get it back. So.
And what I would say is, if you've got a couple of dollars to spare, you know, I still have in mind that evening when both Cuba and WRMI were all off. The shortwave bands in North America were quiet like I've never heard.
Yeah.
And we would be losing something big. WRMI has a lot of relays that are, you know, interesting to listen to. So think about it. The WRMI survival, it's even part of what's on shortwave in North America. That's the deal here.
Yeah.
Jim Bohannon retires from syndicated talk radio. Rich Valdez to take over. This is via Radio Insight. If you listen to AM talk radio or have done any late-night DXing on the medium wave band, you probably recognize the name and the voice of Jim Bohannon. After nearly 30 years hosting a late-night syndicated talk show, Westwood One's Jim Bohannon retired from his 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern show at the end of the week. The 78-year-old Bohannon has been off the air for most of the summer due to unnamed health reasons, which is being stated as the reason for his retirement from the show. His final program was Friday, October 14th. Bohannon has hosted his program for Westwood One and predecessor Mutual since succeeding Larry King in 1993. Prior to hosting the show, he began his career at KLWT, Lebanon, Missouri, in 1960 and worked at multiple Washington, D.C. stations, including 980 WRC, 1050 WGAY, and 1500 WTOP, 1000 WCFL, Chicago, through which he joined Mutual in 1983 as a newscaster and later became King's primary, our daily nighttime town hall with my guests, callers, and all of America. Conservative talker Rich Valdez will take over the time slot on Westwood One. Valdez currently serves as a producer and guest host for The Mark Levin Show and hosts a weekend show on Odyssey's 1210 WPHD Philadelphia. He has also hosted for WABC New York and worked for multiple conservative organizations. That's definitely a voice that you will, you know, you recognize when you hear Jim Bohannon. You know, like we were talking, we are hearing these big names from time to time. They're retiring, going away. Well, it's, I guess, an end of an era of the big famous broadcasters on the air.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very long career, and having replaced Larry King as well. I remember DXing back in the 80s and early 90s, and it was Larry King across the band at night, overnight. And then Jim Bohannon surfaced, has been going for so long. So I guess we'll be hearing, I guess Valdez is taking over right away. We'll have to check the bands and see if that voice is popping up where we were hearing Bohannon across the medium wave dial. Another name, this one, after reading the obituary here, I didn't realize just how famous this guy was. The name was not really familiar to me, and I guess it's because he spent a lot of his time on the West Coast. The article is headlined Art LeBeau, a DJ who popularized oldies but goodies, has died at 97. This comes from Neil Genslinger and Annabelle Williams in the New York Times. And the article, we'll put the link up, is much longer than what we're going to feature here on the show today. You might want to read the rest of it when we post it up. Art LeBeau, a disc jockey who, as a mainstay of the West Coast airwaves for decades, bridged racial divides through his music selections and live shows, reached listeners in a new way by allowing on-air dedication and helped make the phrase oldies but goodies ubiquitous, died on Friday at his home in Palm Springs, California. He was 97. An announcement on his Facebook page said the cause was pneumonia. Arthur Egonian was his real name, and he was born August the 7th, 1925, in Salt Lake City to a family of Armenian immigrants. His obsession with radio began at a young age. His sister gave him his first radio for his 8th birthday. And in a 2020 interview with the Press Enterprise, he recalled being amazed by the box that talks. That experience sparked his interest in radio and in the radio scene. LeBeau worked in radio for almost 80 years. In 1973, the San Francisco Examiner was already calling him the Dean of Los Angeles Rock and Roll Broadcasting, and he would be on the air for almost half a century more after that. He started in the business as a teenager during World War II, working at a San Francisco station, KSAN, before gravitating to KPMO in Pomona and KCMJ in Palm Springs. The idea of a disc jockey with a distinctive personality had not yet become the norm in radio. At KCMJ, a CBS affiliate, he was mostly an announcer doing station IDs and such between radio soap operas. But for an hour, late at night, he was allowed to play music. He featured big bands, crooners, and other sounds of the day. But his tastes changed, his selections changed, and sometimes he was at the front edge of the evolution. In 1954, by then working in Los Angeles, LeBeau was largely responsible for making the Chords song Shaboom, sometimes cited as the first rock and roll record, a number one L.A. song. He also saw the appeal of oldies, practically before they were old. Around 1949, he started working at KRKD in Los Angeles, selling advertising by day and playing music in the wee hours. He thought an all-night restaurant, a Scrivener's Drive-In, might be interested in advertising on his all-night show. So he paid a visit and sold the owner, Paul Scrivener, some spots. A few months later, he made a suggestion. You know, that show is really pretty good, Mr. LeBeau, in a 2016 interview with the Desert Sun of Palm Springs, recalled Mr. Scrivener, saying, why couldn't you do that show from my drive-in? So I did. He would broadcast from the restaurant, He moved to KLXA and then to KPOP during that period, stopping by cars and asking the occupants to pick a song from a list. At the bottom of the list, the San Francisco Examiner wrote in 1973, were a half dozen oldies titles, songs that at that time no more than 3 years old. And when this portion of the list began to show the heaviest action, LeBeau wondered if there might be something to this. Early in his career, LeBeau began taking requests on the air, allowing listeners to dedicate a song to a friend, love interest, or other special person. It became one of his signatures. Few, if any, other disc jockeys were doing that in the early days. Some callers would dedicate a song to a loved one who was incarcerated, and early on, Mr. LeBeau welcomed the Black and Mexican callers, a barrier-breaking thing to do at that time. In the 1950s, he also began producing and serving as MC at live music shows at the American Legion Stadium in El Monte, a blue-collar city east of Los Angeles, that were known for the racially diverse crowd they attracted. The Penguins, Ritchie Valens, and countless other acts performed at those El Monte shows. LeBeau was still producing live shows right into his 90s. So again, we lost Bohannon from the airwaves, but we, you know, he's still out there. But in the case of LeBeau, he is has sadly passed away. As I said, I really didn't know a lot about this guy, but certainly was a sounded like a real pioneer in a lot of different fields in radio broadcasting.
Yeah, definitely. It's interesting to see all these personalities of radio from years past and what they'll do, where they're going to do it, and these crazy ideas that pop up and, well, let's broadcast, you know, from a drive-in or whatever. And So what's happening with our sun? Well, our sun this week was quieter than the past few weeks. We had a lot of sunspots, but they're kind of dissipating and it's a little quieter. One of the interesting spots was the famous huge spot, which was 3112. And we were expecting that huge sunspot to erupt with huge flares, maybe X flares, and it did nothing. And it's just interesting because that's just showing us where our knowledge is so limited of the sun in general. So quiet conditions right now are happening. The sunspot number is 57. Solar flux around 140. Conditions were most of the time quiet to sometimes unsettled because of solar wind, but in general it wasn't too bad. There's no coronal holes to actually create any problems for the days to come. Things can change really fast. You know, we're in the higher solar activity now, so sunspots appear on the sun. You know, just like spontaneously almost. And you never know what could happen, but the conditions are great. And with my new ham rig, a Yaesu FTD-X10, I could actually be there and see that the conditions were amazing for me to make contacts, especially to Europe and even to South America. So what you need to do is exactly what I did. Turn on a radio and listen.
I'm David Bachner of Guelph, Ontario, and I get my weekly radio news on the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Alex Jones, which mocks 965 million Sandy Hook verdict. This is via Yahoo News. Alex Jones was nowhere to be found in a Connecticut courtroom on Wednesday as a jury ordered the InfoWars host to pay nearly $1 billion in compensatory damages to the families of Sandy Hook victims. Instead, the conspiracy theorist was live streaming and laughing at the monumental verdict, assuring his viewers that he had no plans to actually pay what is owed. "Do these people actually think they're getting any of this money?" he said, according to the NBC News. Jones spent years pushing false theories that 2012 Sandy Hook elementary shooting in Newtown, Connecticut, in which 20 first graders and 6 adults were killed, was a government hoax aimed at restricting gun access. As the damages continued to mount on Wednesday, Jones mocked the verdict in an emergency live broadcast on his website. "This must be what hell's like," he said. According to NBC News reporter Ben Collins, "They just read out the damages even though you don't got the money." On his live stream, Jones said he hoped there would be a cap on the amount of damages and told viewers that he had lost count as the jury continued to read. Harry Littman, a lawyer and political commentator, told MSNBC that the death could follow Jones forever. Talking about such outside numbers that even if he's able to bob and weave some, I just don't see how he winds up anything but basically broke now for the rest of his life. At the conclusion of the jury's order, Jones, in a return to form, suggested that the hefty charge was a scare tactic. They wanted to scare us, he said, according to Collins. We're not going away. We're not going to stop. In a press conference following the court proceedings, attorneys for the Sandy Hook family said they would scrutinize Jones' assets to determine what is available. Rest assured that we will be coordinating to ensure those assets are available for recovery for the victims, lawyer Chris Mattes said. Another attorney suggested that Jones has made millions off his lies. How much beet juice has he sold? How much bogus iodine supplements? Whatever else he sells at great markup to his gullible listeners, lawyer Josh Korshkov said. During his Wednesday live stream, Jones continued to solicit his viewers for donations towards his legal fees and pushed his audience to purchase his Vitamineral Fusion from the InfoWars store. The $965 million in defamation awards ordered Wednesday in Connecticut is in addition to the nearly $50 million Jones was ordered by a Texas jury to pay to the parents of Sandy Hook victim Jesse Lewis in August. So that's a lot of money, and his selling of supplements and all sorts of survival gear is apparently making a lot of cash for the guy. So I don't know how this is going to end up and where he's going to end up maybe paying this or finding a way to escape this amount of money, but he's in trouble. And well, you just say something that is, you know, as blatantly a lie, you're going to pay for the consequences at some point.
Yeah, it certainly looks like that. What we're seeing online too now is a lot of people criticizing stations that carry his programming, including WWCR on shortwave. You know, they're saying how can that station live with itself, you know, carrying a show like this.
Yep.
But again, you know, it comes down to people purchasing airtime, and you know, they have these stations that I guess, you know, really need the income. And he's looking for places to put his programming, and they match up and away they go. But like you said, this is really pushing the limits and probably pushed it over the edge.
Yep.
It's just an amazing amount of money. How they arrived at that particular figure is hard to say. I'm sure we'll hear more about it
Definitely.
As he tries to fight it and avoid, you know, paying anybody any money.
Definitely.
Except the people he pays to put his program on the radio.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
that will probably continue somehow.
There's money for that.
So we move on to Europe, and we have a story coming out of Radio Magazine on Facebook via Mike Terry and Glenn Hauser's World of Radio. The end of RTL Luxembourg 234 kilohertz longwave coming up on December 31st. The decision has just been made. Facing the energy crisis, the M6 group, RTL, so they will cease broadcasting on longwave starting January the 1st, a measure that aims to save more than 600 megawatt hours per year. The listeners will have to find another way to listen. The FM, whose coverage in France is imperfect, the DAB Plus that covers France is embryonic, TV stations, if they have some sort of converter box or whatever, they can apparently get RTL, or they'll have to blow up the internet package by logging into RTL.fr or mobile apps if the big long-wave listener, often elderly, is connected to the radio station. So everything seems to be in place to inform the audience. Broadcasting posts have been coming out for the last few months. The auditor relations service is ready to receive calls or emails, contact.antenne@rtl.fr. RTL M6 Auditeur Relations, 56 Avenue Charles de Gaulle, Neuilly-sur-Seine in France. A page of history is turning. RTL has been broadcasting since 1933. It remains as French-speaking stations on long wave, which are audible in France, Morocco with Medi 1, Nador 171, Radio Television Algérienne Channel 3 in Tipaza on 254. The following countries are still on long wave: Great Britain on 198, Ireland on 252, which was formerly RTL Atlantic transmitter, Iceland 189 and 207, Denmark on 243, Poland on 225, and Romania on 153 kilohertz. So these long wave stations, North Americans are generally not familiar with long wave. Yeah. It's something we've never had here. But these are big, big powerhouse stations in Europe and North Africa in particular. And they cover huge expanses of territory on long wave. But they've been dropping regularly over the past couple of years now. And, you know, as they list out there, there's not a lot of them left. And we kind of wonder if the rest of them may be going the same way.
One of the things also that I didn't think about, but as the Russian gas isn't going into Europe much, and there's a lot of electricity that is generated with that, they're trying to save energy everywhere, and the transmitters are bad in the amount of energy that they use to transmit signals. It could accelerate some of the station's demise because of that reason.
Yeah, some of these long wave transmitters, you're talking some that are megawatt, you know, and several hundred thousand watts as well. So yeah, they can eat up energy pretty quickly. So that could definitely have an impact, not only on these long wave stations, but, you know, we're starting to hear some other sites on shortwave that may be cutting back or shutting down completely. That may have the same effect on lack of resources to keep them running.
So we have upcoming ham radio contests.
Yeah, we have a few things going on next weekend for you. One that's carrying on for the whole week, actually, is the ARRL School Club Roundup. And these are amateur radio clubs that are set up in schools across, I guess, across the world, but mainly North America. It's put together by the American Radio Relay League. It's going to run from 1300 Zulu October 17th all the way through 2359 Zulu on the 21st of October. There are two of these events each year, one in October and one in February. The five-day event runs Monday through Friday, and a station may operate no more than 6 hours out of a 24-hour period and a maximum of 24 hours through the 107-hour week-long event. So you'll find them on all the amateur bands except 60, 30, 17, and 12 meters. And phone and CW are permitted during this activity.
We have the AGCW Semi-Automatic Key Evening, 1900 Zulu to 2030 Zulu, October 19th, organized by the German Telegraphy Activity Group. That's on 80 meters only, and it's CW.
The Netherlands Telegraphy Club is holding a CUSO party, 1900 to 2000 Zulu, so just an hour, October the 20th, 80, 40, and 20 meters, and that also is CW only.
And there's the Stu Perry Top Band Challenge, 1500 Zulu, October 22nd to 1500 Zulu, October 23rd, organized by the Boring Amateur Radio Club. And the band is 160 meters only, and CW.
That's an interesting one to test out your 160 meter band capabilities. That's a tough band, you know, to have good antennas for that band, especially if you don't have a lot of property around.
Oh, yeah.
So you might want to give that one a shot if you're into CW.
So the time's already gone.
Yeah, we squeezed quite a bit in there. We'll put links to all of these stories up on the Facebook group so you can check them out. And the show will be up on YouTube a little bit later today for you to check out again or if you missed it live. So that will do it for us. We thank you for tuning in this week. We'll do it next week once again here on CKUT with our International Radio Report. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Radio Luxembourg, le grand poste international. Here, Radio Luxembourg, der große internationale Sender.
The best of everything.
On Radio Luxembourg.
205, 206, 207.
Quality counts on
208, the station of the stars, Radio Luxembourg.
Everything's great.
Le dernier vaccin contre la COVID-19 remonte à plus de 5 mois, c'est le moment d'aller chercher une nouvelle dose. Faire le plein d'anticorps permet de réduire le risque d'avoir ou de transmettre le virus, en plus de contribuer à diminuer le nombre d'hospitalisations et de décès liés à la COVID-19. Pour une meilleure protection contre le virus, prenez rendez-vous au québec.ca/vaccin-COVID et suivez la séquence de vaccination recommandée. La vaccination contre la COVID-19, un moyen de nous protéger plus longtemps. Un message du gouvernement du Québec.
I slept too little and drank too much.
What's my hypnosis anyway? Get out of bed like this. Oh, Christ.
Rise and shine. With CKUT 90.3 FM.